Would I'll do
the
one that'll open later on.
Culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I got to confess to you, I'm getting to the point where I about hate weekends. I hate weekends because I can't get up on Saturday morning and vent for an hour and a half, and I can't get up on Sunday morning and vent. I got to sit there and let all that stuff bubble up inside of me. It's a great weekend. Spent some time with my grandchildren. Boy, I tell you what, man, nothing to make you feel more alive than being around little grandbabies. I mean, it's unbelievable. I just thank God for our 10 and should have had 20, and I'd take 40 if I had them. And they're our future. If we don't understand that, how calloused we are as far as education is concerned, those little, as Rush would call them, little minds full of mush. My, what an opportunity to have impact with them. We had a great weekend. Hey, I got some really, really good news for you this morning. Here's the really good news. We got Silver a van. Pull that up there, Mr. Producer, if you can. Signed, sealed, delivered. Now, we already purchased it. We're a little bit behind, so you can still kick in $50, whatever you want to help us pay for it. But this is the van that they've purchased. It needs to have a little bit of maintenance, some things that are going to clean it up. But I want you to know, you folks purchased Joe Silver a van. You guys did that. And we'll never know what this will do for that family, and that it'll give Joe the opportunity, well, all the family, right? Wheel him up in there, take him out. Right now, it's such a burden for them to be able to do that. So this has been in the works for a while, and we got her done. We got her done. And so if you'd let, you know, you can go to CoachDaveLive.com. I want to kick in a few bucks to help us cover the cost of that. Either way, car's been bought. Joe Silver is going to have some transportation. That's some good news, isn't it? Some good news. There's so much going on. So many things. I don't know. We were talking before we went live this morning. Joe Rogan. If I understand it, Joe Rogan received Christ. In fact, Laura Ann said to us that Joe Rogan was witnessed to by Kid Rock, of all people. What? Huh? Look, are you guys looking at me? I don't know about you. I was unbelievably lost. Before I got saved, I was capable of anything. We used to joke, you know, when I was in college, we used to joke, said, we have standards, not morals. Ha, ha, ha. That's where most people live their lives. They have standards. I'll go this far, but I won't go that far. I have standard, right? And really, I got a lot of information I could show you. Maybe I'll save some of it till tomorrow, of the moral condition of America. How did we get in this condition? Joe Rogan is now preaching that only Jesus can save this planet. Is that amazing, folks? Because you know what? We don't realize that that Holy Spirit can get a hold of anybody wherever they are, man. Wherever they are, and one of the greatest I don't want to use the word abominations. One of the most paralyzing things is acceptance of Christ without the power. And that's where most of us are. Receive Christ as our Savior, but no power to it. We talked about that last week. I want to have power, man. I want to show up and things change. I want to show up and people are shocked by what comes out of my mouth. Don't you want to do that? Don't you want to walk into a room and the people gasp at the things that you say? But see, that's exactly the opposite of what we've been taught. We've been taught to go along, to get along, don't judge, all that, right? Love, 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 love. Man, we are in a war. We're in a war. Jesus Christ can get a hold of Joe Rogan? Now, here's my question. Who's following up with Joe Rogan? What kind of gospel is he getting afterwards? How about this one? Donald Trump. They say Donald Trump. All these pastors gathered around Donald Trump, and Donald Trump said, I don't know if he ever said that he received Christ or not, but he had all these guys around him praying. He's trying to do the righteous thing. Has anybody followed up with Donald Trump? Who's his minister? Who is his minister? How would you like to be? I'm thinking about me now. Go back to when I received Christ back in 1988. I didn't have it figured out. I got saved in 1988. I still don't have it figured out. And to think that maybe I would get saved and then next year I'm president of the United States and I'd have this whole thing figured out, who to trust and who not to trust. And look, I'm not here to make this about Donald Trump. I'm talking about the transformation of a life through the gift of salvation. That's what I'm talking about. And one of the worst things that ever happened to America, and it was a good thing, but it was a bad thing. I was a victim of it, was Billy Graham, the easy believism. Walk an aisle, say a prayer, you're saved. That happened to me. I walked an aisle, said a prayer. I was saved in 1964, I believe, at Jet Stadium in Columbus, Ohio. The Billy Graham Crusade came to Columbus. And I walked the aisle. My sister and I both, we walked the aisle. We said the prayer. I was 12 years old. And then went home, went back into the Catholic Church and rotted away for the next 20-some years of my life. So Billy Graham convinced a lot of people that they were born again. And maybe they were. I'm not questioning the salvation of walking the aisle and saying the prayer. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm not here to question that. But the Bible tells us that we're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And Jesus told us to go make disciples, not converts. And I was reeled in, but I wasn't discipled. I was saved and lost. There's some of you watching me right now. That's the condition that you're in. I run into Christians who think I'm crazy. Well, they think I'm crazy because they ain't got a hold of what I got a hold of. You get a hold of what I got a hold of, you'll be crazy. Crazy as defined by them. I was thinking about this. I spend a lot of time thinking, by the way. Maybe it's one of the curses of my life. I do spend a lot of time thinking. And I'm not trying to make this sound like I'm holier or mightier than somebody else, okay? I believe I have I sleep 8 hours a day. So 8 hours from 24, 16 hours a day. From the time I get up until the time I go to bed, I have a Jesus consciousness all day long. Coach, what do you mean by that? I'm telling you, the whole time that I'm during the day, I am reading stuff, I'm doing stuff, and I have a Jesus consciousness about me the whole day, looking at things, analyzing things, taking them through the filter of Christ, not by design. I'm not doing it on purpose. It is just the filter that I have. And I guess I could say thank you, Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit. But other than that, I don't know why I'm that way. You ask yourself, do you take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ, which is what the Scripture tells us to do? Do you do that? Do you live that way? Do you walk that way? People around you, every time you're having a conversation, even if I'm having a conversation about the Cleveland Browns or the Chicago Bears, whatever it was, I have a salvation message in the back of my head, ready to deliver that salvation message all the time. And you know what's really amazing? I could be wrong. I think I'm somewhat fun to be around. I'm not all pickle juice and no fun. I like to laugh and have fun. Christ is at the center of it. But everywhere I go, I'm looking somehow to turn what's going on into a gospel conversation. Not to beat you over the head with the gospel, not that, but an asking questions gospel. Why do you think that's going on? What do you think about what's going on in our libraries? What do you think about transsexualism, transgenderism? What do you think about that? What do you think about what's her name? Taylor Swift. What do you think about her? I'm telling you, that's where I live. Maybe that's why some people are uncomfortable being around me, because they don't want to hear it. they just want to live their life. And I'm telling you, man, out of the abundance of the heart flow the issues of life. What's in your heart? What's in your heart? And who are you serving? I'm 71. I woke up again this morning and gave my wife a big hug, because how many more days am I going to have to do that? To wake up in the morning and give my wife a big hug? I look around me, I see people dropping over dead all the time. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. I'm not a doom and gloomer. I'm just telling you, pull up number one. Stay with me. We're going somewhere today, okay? Pull up number one there, John. If 585 million now killed or injured by COVID shots. Latest come out, 585 million. And again, the way this whole thing's going to be hidden is when they gave you the shots. See, most people took the shots. Now, I could be wrong. How long's COVID been around? They call it COVID-19 because it showed up in 19, right? 2019, isn't that originally when it came? Now, I'm not real good at math, but COVID-19 to 2024, that's 5 years. We're working on our fifth year now of COVID, fifth year. Could something have happened? Somebody who took a jab, took a shot, whatever you want to call that, took a jab 3 years ago, and they're all okay and everything's going good. And then 5 years from now, they drop over dead. And people will say, well, that's because that COVID shot. See, they'll never make the connection. Cause and effect. We know 585 million now killed. And I'll never forget what Dr. Sherry Tenpenny told me back in 2019. She said, this, coach, this is going to show up in the future. People aren't going to take the shot and drop over dead now. She says, it's going to show up later. Turbo cancers, all that kind of stuff. People, and they're going to be saying, well, he died naturally. He died, whatever. He died from this. He died from them. It's all tied and associated with this. 585 million now killed or injured by COVID shots. Folks, not COVID. COVID shots. It's amazing, isn't it? I got some great stuff to try to dump on you today. I just try to make you aware, man, huh? Oh, it's what's crazy. So here's some good news. I want to start off some good news here on Monday. Oh, I got so much I want to. Go ahead and do this. Do this for me, Spencer. Who is it? No, it's Jonathan. Sorry, Johnny. Pull up number 11. This all make you all feel good. This make you feel good. Because I want to connect these two things together. 585 million now killed. Blaze Media comes out and says the federal government paid hundreds of media companies to advertise COVID-19. Your tax dollars used to advertise COVID-19 to kill 585 million people. Oh, man. Look, I got to scroll down a little bit because I got to get this off my chest. How do I say this in a nice way? I received an email from somebody this weekend that they had good intentions, and they were getting on me about the fact that we rent sky high during the month of September for this horrible concert to have over the hill. We rent it to the production team, and the production team, they're pretty decent guys. They're just professionals, and so we rent it to the entire month. And so I had some guy contact me. He says, Coach, man, shouldn't be renting it to those people. He said, you shouldn't have anything to do with that thing. And I said, well, so I got pondering about that, thinking about that a little bit. Wait, I shouldn't rent it? What? How am I promoting the concert venue? Those guys, the money that they pay to rent Sky High, that money is going to go into Pass the Salt Ministries, and then we're going to use that money to do good things with it. How's taking the devil's money bad thing? How's that a bad thing? And if they didn't give the money to Pass the Salt Ministries, well, the money would go to Holiday Inn or Ramada or whatever. And the concert wouldn't shut down. They would not have a concert if I didn't rent them that. He says, yeah, but have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And I thought, well, okay, that sounds really good, except how many of you pay taxes? Ray, you pay taxes? Gene, you pay taxes? What are your tax dollars going? They're going to kill babies? You guys paying for that? They're going to kill people over in the Middle East? They're going to train your kids in school and evil thoughts? They're doing everything they can to destroy the gospel? Your tax dollars are doing that. So if I shouldn't be renting Sky High, then you shouldn't be paying taxes. Does anybody think I'm wrong on that? Does anybody think I'm wrong? Because here's the reality. Well, he comes back and says, well, willful. You're willfully paying tax. I said, willful? Are you willfully paying your taxes? He said, you're willfully renting it. I said, well, are you willfully? Are they coming with a gun tonight, putting a gun to your head and taking your money? Or are you paying that check all the time? I said, you go buy gas, there's taxes in there. You go buy food, there's taxes in there. About four or five different times, there's taxes in there. Everybody that touched it, there's a tax on it. And they're taking all of your money, and they're using all that money to spend, to do all this wicked stuff. And you get mad at me because I take a little bit of that money and turn it towards the gospel. Does anybody think I'm wrong on doing that? Anybody think I'm wrong? I'm taking the devil's money? If I stopped renting Sky High to them, do you mean that event would be over? It shut down. They said, oh, my goodness, the event's over. Coach Dave won't rent it to a production team anymore. I don't see it that way. I don't see it. I'm going to take it. Hey, folks, every dollar you take has come from the devil. You realize that? Not every daggone dollar you take is dirty. We can't. It'd be different if I was out there selling tickets. Anyway, Roger, go ahead. What do you think about that, Roger?
I wouldn't rent it myself. But
I would rent it too and turn it into good stuff.
No, I said, Dave, I would not rent it.
Okay, why?
No, but that's not my point. I think we all have to make individual decisions at times. You know what I'm saying? I like going to the top and having a steak and two adult beverages, and I'd probably get lambasted by that by some people.
That's right.
So I think it comes down to our individual decision. I don't know that there's a right or wrong on this one, but I think it would be a personal thing. And then I think you move on, because we all can judge each other's actions and none of us make it 100% right.
Amen.
That's just how I would view it, but I don't think any less of you for renting it, nor do I hope you don't think any less of me if I decide to have two gin and tonics and a steak some night.
I take the devil's money and turn it into good. I think it's a good thing. That's the way I look at it. I'm not supporting what they're doing. They're paying me. I don't get it, right? I'm not buying tickets and sending people into it. I'm not doing any of that. In fact, those guys up there kind of protect it. I don't know how I got on this. Go ahead, Neil.
Same situation with our barn venue for weddings. We've had weddings here that just do not honor God. And one time we had a wedding, it was just pathetic. And I was at church the next morning at service, and pastor says, what are you so glum about? And I told him about the event. And he goes, Neil, and I don't know where it says this in scripture, but I believe Brother Leroy, he said that the Lord takes the money from the wicked and gives to the good.
Mm-hmm. That's what I, it's not like, look, it's not like I'm paying tickets going to it. Anyway, I don't feel guilty about it at all. Go ahead, Dale.
That's kind of the beginning of it, Coach. Is where is your conviction lie on this? And this is now, if you own that property, that's a different thing. But this is the business part of it. This has nothing to do with it. Now, if you knew that there were a bunch of witches and warlocks over there,
if they're copulating all out in the yard and everything, that's gonna be something different. But yeah.
Hey, honey, I thought you were down here already.
And Proverbs 13 says it clearly. Proverbs 13 says that a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. So, right there. Now, here's a last little look. When Jesus is being born by Mary, did Joseph wonder what kind of room the inn had? You know, was he going, hey, is it a righteous inn? Is that a righteous room? No, he was just looking for a room. Right, he was willing to take whatever. And who owned the cave? What kind of person was that? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, I get it.
You don't have that conviction.
Look, folks, hey, if you are paying $1 in tax, don't throw a stone at me. Your money's funding the killing of unborn children. Right? Come on, man. Your money is funding the promotion of the homosexual agenda in the public schools. Don't point your finger at me.
What about the people that take those checks that they were given out during COVID by the government?
We'll get to that.
Right now.
In fact, I don't even know how I got on this topic, other than I wanted to vent that one out there a little bit. Hey, folks, if you're taking anything you buy right now, you're paying taxes on it and you're funding the new world order. Now, whether you don't realize it or not, they say, well, yeah, but I'm not willfully doing it. And I say, BS, you're not willfully doing it. You're willfully paying your taxes. Well, say, Coach, if I don't pay my taxes, they're going to throw me in jail. Okay, well, then get thrown in jail, and then you have a clear conscience. Is that what you're supposed to do? Well, I'm going to take the wealth of the sinner, and I'm going to use it for righteous stuff. Bob Evans, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to set up right underneath the cross there with my little camper, and I want to get a hold of some of these guys on the other side of the fence and start talking to them about the Lord and Jesus.
Amen.
We're missing the opportunity.
And we are, Bob. And Bob, you know what else? The guy told me that the guy that stays up there, it's a production crew. They don't want those guys. They guard the property. They don't let those scallywags come across, right? So it is what it is. Roger, one more. I don't know how I got on this. I want to move on here. Go ahead, Rod. You still got your hand up. Okay, cool. Look at this. Good things going on. I was talking about Joe Rogan getting saved. What? Joe Rogan getting saved. Hey, Johnny, I got 48 seconds here before I got to go to break here. Folks, we're setting for those of you watching on Brighteon, we're going to go to break here in just a second. We'll be back on the other side of it. Hang on. When you come back here, I'm going to show you. People do not like to hear this, but we are winning. We're winning. Everywhere you look, remember I talked about the sun coming up, the sun going down? Sun's been going down on America for a long, long time, and baby, the sun is starting to come up. Kid Rock saved? Joe Rogan coming to the Lord? Oh, I got a clip from Alex Jones coming up just after the break. Going to show you, too, that, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. So hang in there with us, Brighteon. We'll be right back. Thanks, Johnny. Okay, I'm going to keep on moving, folks. We're doing two shows here at once. Pull up for me number three. Pull up number three. I'm sorry, Johnny. Ready? John's got to start typing again for me. Taping it for me. I'm sorry, folks. I just got to do this because one of the reasons, hang on, Johnny. Don't tape this yet. I'm trying to make the Brighteon show more interactive, friends. They don't have call-ins and all that stuff. So I'm taping this show so people can watch it and understand the interaction that goes on. Are we ready, John? Okay, do you guys know what diversity, equity, and inclusion is? You guys know what that is? Diversity, equity, and inclusion is what they're doing to us, breaking our arms, making us hire incompetent people like Kamala Harris, yada, 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 right? With the University of Florida, we're winning. Pull up number three. University of Florida, no more DEI, no more diversity, equity, or inclusion employees in Florida University. No more. No more are they going to be hiring you based on your skin color, your gender, your sexual preference, your height, your weight. None of it, folks. This stuff is going away. Do you know why it's going away? Because the NASCAR crowd is getting sick and tired of it. And they're beginning to stand up. And they see that, Fonnie Willis was a DEI employee. And people are looking around and say, daggone, how about some competent people getting hired? How about we get some competent people rather than freaks? And we're beginning to see that people stand up and push back. Play number two for me. Play number two. 7 out of 10 Americans fail civics. Go back to that, John. 7 out of 10 Americans fail civics. 7 out of 10 fail civics. Why? Diversity, inclusion. They're teaching them where they put their dinger and where not to put their dinger, whether they have a dinger or whether they don't have a dinger, and whether you're hateful and whether you're judgmental, whether you're bigoted. They're teaching them all this unbelievable stuff. It ain't got nothing to do with anything at all. Yeah, that's what's going on. And finally, the University of Florida said, no more here. We ain't going to do that anymore here. Now, this guy, Vince Ellison, he destroys DEI. Go ahead and play it.
Mm-mm. You brought, kick God out of the schools, brought the drag queens in, put the Bible out to school, brought the porn in, took discipline out to schools. Now what you got? Children cussing out the teacher, fighting, raising hell, smoking blunts. And when you ask them to change it, no, because that's exactly what they want. Based on that, I said before, I'll say it again, loud and proud, perpendicular on the square, that the left are nothing but a cabal of perverts, liars, psychopaths, and anti-Christian bigots. All they do is meditate on blood. They see what's coming over that border. Sex trafficking, fentanyl killing 100,000 Americans a year. And they will not stop it. They'll let Ukraine go down. Hey, if you just stop what's going on at the border, we're giving the money for Ukraine. No. You know what? They're replacing you. Better get ready for it. The white Anglo-Saxon Protestant is their enemy.
Where'd you hear that before?
Mm-mm. You brought.
Okay, that's back to begin. What I've been saying, this guy's telling us the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant is the enemy. Why is he the enemy? Well, it's simple. Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. They put enmity between his seed and her seed. It's what's breaking out in front of us. They use diversity, equity, inclusion, racism, sexism, bigotism, all that stuff, to try to draw us away from any type of unity. Because it says in Psalm 133 that where there's unity, God will command the blessing. Boom. So they know that if we're unified, if they know if that NASCAR crowd ever wakes up, if they understand, but you want to see them possibly the most bigoted commercial, not commercial, news thing ever, play number 5. Here's what we're up against, okay? Because the NASCAR crowd is beginning to wake up, you know what they're calling it? Oh, white rural rage. You tell me this. Hey, Bob Evans, you pissed off at some things? Gene, you pissed off at some things? Leanne, Lauren, you pissed off at some things? Some of you out there pissed off at some things? They say it's your racist, right, white rural rage. Listen to this white female. Go ahead and play this.
Joining us now, professor of political science at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, Tom Schaller, and journalist and opinion writer Paul Waldman. Their new book, out tomorrow, is entitled White Rural Rage, The Threat to American Democracy. And Tom, I'll start with you. Why are white rural voters a threat to democracy at this point? You would think, as we pointed out, looking at Joe Biden's background and Donald Trump's, that the opposite would be true.
I mean, we lay out the fourfold interconnected threat that white rural voters pose to the country. First of all, and we show 30 polls and national studies to demonstrate this. So we provide the receipts in Chapter 6. They're the most racist, xenophobic, anti-immigrant, and anti-gay geodemographic group in the country. Second, they're the most...
That's you, Bob Evans. That's you, Neil Leiby. Hey, Roger, that's you they're talking about. Jack, they're talking about you. Randy, they're talking about you. Hey, Keith, they're talking about you. Gene Schroeder, they're talking about you. They're talking about you. Go back. I want to hear that again, Johnny. Go back about 30 seconds. I want to hear that again. Listen to this.
I mean, we lay out the fourfold interconnected threat that white rural voters pose to the country. First of all, and we show 30 polls and national studies to demonstrate this. So we provide the receipts in Chapter 6. They're the most racist, xenophobic, anti-immigrant, anti-gay geodemographic group in the country. Second, they're the most conspiracist group. QAnon support and subscribers, election denialism, COVID denialism and scientific skepticism, Obama birtherism. Third, anti-democratic sentiments. They don't believe in an independent press, free speech. They're most likely to say the president should be able to act unilaterally without any checks from Congress or the courts or the bureaucracy. They're also the most strongly white nationalists and white Christian nationalists. And fourth.
Hang on. Hey, Ray, they're talking about you. They're talking about you, Ray. I'm looking at you. They're talking about you, right? This is you, right? Simply because you want to follow biblical principles and have some type of order organized chaos. It's you. White rural rage. You, Ray, are the threat to democracy. Keep playing, Johnny.
They are most likely to excuse or justify violence as an acceptable alternative to peaceful public discourse.
So you mentioned a lot of negative factors about this demographic.
Is that unbelievable? Can you folks, how long has the old coach been telling you that's what it's again? Okay, hang on. Another thing. Pull up number four. Alex Jones. Well, Alex Jones. Listen to what Alex Jones is talking about here. Go ahead and play it real quick. Just part of it. We're winning, folks. We're winning. We're winning.
There's a reason Tucker Carlson's talking about God. There's a reason Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is talking about God. I'm going to leave it at that. Man, I really want to tell you this, but I'm not allowed to. Man, I wish I could tell you. Woo! I wish I could tell you, boy. But you'll learn soon enough. And remember, your sight is a tiny band of just visible light, and light itself is a tiny band of all the other energies. So there's different analogies, there's different energy, there's so much energy, it's hard to quantify. We've added all the different types they're discovering all the time, but let's just say we see 1% of what's going on. It's way less than that, but you see 1%.
Oh, yeah, the Lord's
your
working,
eyeballs
baby.
Are only set to pick up a very small amount of stuff that's going on.
That's right.
I mean, here's an example. people are taking ayahuasca in groups of 20, 30 at the same time and seeing the same beings together and writing in notebooks without talking what they've seen and what's going on. And the CIA has been studying it for 50 years.
Point being, there's a spiritual awakening going on around us. And I hate to keep patting myself on the back, but wasn't it me that said the sun's coming up? The sun's coming up in America? Wasn't it me who said about 10 years ago, it's going to come from the NASCAR crowd? Has anybody been listening for me for a long time? And I've been saying it's going to come from the NASCAR crowd. It's not going to come from the churches. The churches are incapable of being able to do it. Can I tell you why the churches are incapable of doing it? For the most part, because the pastors don't have any idea. Pastors don't have any idea what's going on. They won't get involved with it. There's no such thing as a Black Road Regiment anymore. The pastors and the churches are go along to get along because why? Because they believe in the end time. Okay, go number nine. I'm full of information today. I'm going to open it up and let you jump in there. About 4 in 10 U.S. adults believe humanity is living in the end times. Now, you can look at that a couple different ways. 40% believe we're in the end times. 60% don't. But the point is, we need to ask ourselves, what does this mean? Are we living in the end times? And what does it mean? Now, I'm going to show you something else, because I looked this up today. Pull up number seven. Oh, I'm sorry, folks. I feel like I'm all over the place. I've been all weekend with me, okay? What do most American pastors believe about the rapture and the end times? Most American pastors. Well, scroll down there, Johnny. What's it say? Because we argue over this. Stop right there. Recently, a survey of American pastors belonging to various Protestant denominations has found a diverse array of opinions on how the end times will unfold. Now, let me stop you there. Let me just stop you there. If there is a rapture, look, I'm not arguing. If there's a rapture, why doesn't every church person believe it? 1 in 4 pastors, right there, 1 in 4 pastors say the rapture is not literal. Folks, this isn't settled science, as they would say. 1 in 4 pastors say almost 1 in 5 think the rapture happens after the tribulation. We can't even agree on what would be the most cataclysmic event in the history of histories is if a rapture came and all of a sudden people disappeared. You mean to tell me we can't even agree on what would be the most unbelievable? Folks, can you imagine? Can you imagine what would happen in the world if all of a sudden all the saved people disappeared? And we can't even, Christians can't even agree on what that means. A few believe the rapture already happened, 1%, or that it will occur during the tribulation, 4%, or the wrath of God is poured out on the earth, 4%. Others don't agree with any of these views, 8%, who aren't sure what will happen, 4%. So all across Christianity, the most cataclysmic event the world has ever seen, the church doesn't even agree on what that's going to be. With me? So I did some research the other day. What percentage of, folks, I'm not trying to, I don't care. I'm not trying to force my beliefs on you. About 26% of denominations believe in a rapture. Hey, Bob, your math pretty good. You're a good measure, right, Bob Evans? 25% would be what? 1 in what, Bob? Can't hear you. I know what you're saying. That'd be 1 in 4.
Out of 100 or what?
Yeah. Out of 100, what would 25% be?
25 people.
25 people. That means 75 don't believe it. Yeah. Do you see where we are? I'm not here to debate it. Well, how come in Christianity there's such confusion over what seems to be such central focus stuff? How do you get saved? Once saved, always saved. The rapture, the end time. Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Is there a purgatory? All of these things. No wonder Christianity can't get together. No wonder we got churches that think it's okay for homosexuals to get married. We have churches that think it's okay for abortion. We have half of the church voting for Joe Biden. We got half the church voting for Donald Trump. Divide and conquer. Can't you see the confusion out there? But can I tell you what else? make enemies if I point it out. But not everybody agrees with that. I know people who will go to war over the rapture, and 75% of Americans don't agree with them. Wow, huh? I'm not trying to take a position. I'm trying to keep the peace here today. I'm just trying to show you why we are in the mess that we're in. Huh? Play number 10 real quick. I'm going to open it up. Joe Rogan says only Jesus can save the planet. Joe Rogan says that? Only Jesus? Is that number 10? Scroll down. Oh, there it is. Go ahead. You're right. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You're right. Joe Rogan!
As time rolls on, people are going to understand the need to have some sort of divine structure to things, some sort of belief in the sanctity of love and of truth. And a lot of that comes from religion. A lot of people's moral compass and the guidelines that they've used to follow to live a just and righteous life has come from religion. And unfortunately, a lot of very intelligent people, they dismiss all of the positive aspects of religion because they think that the stories are mere superstitious fairy tales, that, you know, they have no place in this modern world, and, you know, we're inherently good and your ethics are based on your old moral compass and we all have one, and that's not necessarily true. We need Jesus. I think for real. Like if he came back now, it'd be great. Listen, if you're thinking about coming back.
Is he really converted? Is Joe Rogan really converted? Huh? When's the last time you heard Sean Hannity say that? Bill O'Reilly, they saying that kind of stuff? Anybody else saying it? Folks, I'm telling you, there's something going on. Jeff Klein. How much time we got there, Johnny? I can't see my clock in here. Oh, thank you, man. Go ahead, Jeff.
What was the famous classification they used during COVID? Non-essential.
Uh-huh.
Church has become non-essential.
Yeah, we did it to ourselves, Jeff. We did it to ourselves, right? And as a result, folks, I'm going to do a show tomorrow. I'll try to get it together tomorrow to show you that, you know, they do research on this, on the beliefs of Christians. It's staggering what church-going Christians believe. Wait a minute. The diversity in what they believe. No wonder we can't get together. We don't even believe the same basic stuff in the scriptures. Ray, come on in.
Yeah, back on that rapture thing too, with that percentage. What percentage actually believe in just carrying out the word of God, occupy till I come, and put all this nonsense to say? It makes us all look foolish when we start bickering against these topics anyways. But to see Joe Rogan and I think Glenn Beck moved out of Mormonism basically into more Christian. I think Tucker is right there. Carlson Tucker is right there too. He's these are big voices that God's bringing up, and you look into the Muslim.
They're starting to use that G word and that J word, aren't they, huh? Folks, sun's coming up.
Even the Muslims are waking up. They're getting visions and dreams. Yes, so sir. We're in a new era that God's not done. He's not letting the enemy have the football anymore.
That's right. He's not done yet, baby, huh? Some of the folks getting tired laying in this crap we're laying in, and they're going to say Christ is the only answer, right? Oh yeah, that's why I say, Dr. Paul, come in.
I would avoid the ayahuasca, coach. Just so you know.
Anyway, avoid what?
The ayahuasca. He was talking about ayahuasca.
Okay, yeah, I got you.
Stay away from that. That kills people all the time. Anyway, right. For those with PTSD, can be the worst thing in the world. Anyway, so I don't know if you heard, one lie after another, but nicotine is an addictive. Have you heard that, coach?
Isn't addictive?
Is not addictive.
Oh, really?
The pyrimazines they add in the tobacco is addictive. Nicotine itself is not addictive. And it's also the cure for a lot of things like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and all this stuff. So every time I turn around, there's one lie after another. Yep. Remember those five tobacco guys sitting out front? This is Artis's work. I don't know if you know Artis, but those five tobacco said in front of the world that nicotine isn't addictive. And you know what? They were absolutely right. They didn't say tobacco products. because tobacco products are addictive. Organic tobacco is where it's at. And I every time I turn around, it's one lie after another. And it always comes down to this, Coach. It always comes down to the way, the truth, and the light. And it's the most amazing thing, because I am not a religious guy, Coach. But I absolutely love this show.
But by the way, I'm not religious either, right? I'm not religious. I'm Christian. I'm 100% Christian, but I ain't religious. I hate religion. Hate religion. Roger.
Wow, what a show. What a show, Dave. I don't know what else to say. Could you expand a little bit on the Alex Jones? What I got was that there are people in groups starting to see visions. Is that correct?
Right. That's what he was saying. And stuff he said, he has some insight on some stuff that's going on that he isn't allowed to share. Now, I don't know what that means, but folks, you would agree with me, wouldn't you? Alex has been pretty cutting edge, right, on a lot of stuff he's talking about. There is an awakening going on, friends, because the sun's coming up in America. It ain't going down. So I can't add any more than that, Roger, because Alex said in that clip that I showed and put it in the chat for the folks out there, he said for whatever reason he can't say anything about it, right? Hey, you know, go to number 9 real quick. No, go to number 8. We did that. Go to number 8. How about this one? Number 8. It's a great chart. See, if you guys just get on the internet and start digging in some of the other stuff that you find, look, you scroll down there. I don't have time to get into all this, but it tells us this, what? That only 4 in 10 Americans believe in an afterlife. Look at this. Only 4 in 10 Americans believe in heaven and hell. Only, 62% of all U.S. adults believe in hell. Only 73% believe in heaven. Now, wait a minute. How could that possibly be? Certainly, we're teaching about heaven and hell and eternal salvation in our schools, aren't we? I sat down our granddaughter yesterday, Reese, and explained to her, she's 13 years old. I explained to her again that we are a spirit who lives in a body and possesses a soul, and the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions, and that when you die, the spirit returns to God, the bones burn, corrupt, rot, and the soul goes to heaven or hell. That's it. It's so basic. It's so basic gospel stuff. Did I tell you? We don't know. We don't know how much time I got there, Johnny. I feel like I'm pushing right towards the end of it here. Folks, I'm doing a little bit different. What we're doing here today at Coach Dave Live at Brighteon is I'm taping my morning show. We do this 5 days a week at CoachDaveLive.com. CoachDayLive.com, and it's interactive, issues-oriented, gospel-focused, get-off-your-butt Christianity. That's what it's about. We do it 5 days a week. In fact, today. Today is show number 2,100. We should have some type of confetti come down or something. This is the 2,100th show that we've been doing this. We've been doing it for a long time because the Bible tells us this, that you shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, shall set you free. And the devil has done nothing but feed us lies ever since I've been alive. And unfortunately, people in positions of authority are telling us the same lies over and over. Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. God bless you, Brighteon folks. We'll see you next week. All right, we're back. Come on in, Dale.
Well, hallelujah, hey, coaches. By the way, folks,
thanks for letting me do that, because I think it's really important that Brighteon gets a little bit of give and take on it rather than lecture after lecture after lecture. Go ahead.
Yeah, Coach, this is kind of unique. You're saying that he's talking about things that people are seeing things. The last 3 weeks, my message is, do you see? Do you see? I'm not talking about natural eyes. Remember 2 Kings chapter 6, and Elijah's in the tent with his servant. His servant comes in. He's all frantic and panicky. And Elijah goes out. He doesn't drop to his knees and say, oh, Lord, please show up with your army. He said, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. And when he opened his eyes, see, right? He sees, brother. He sees this. And brother, there's something I believe, brother, this is just me. I believe there are myriads of angels, brother, but we don't have eyes to see.
Oh, what, help us, Lord. Help us what see
it. Encompassing us, coach. That word encompass means literally to surround. Brother, that Hebrews chapter 12, brother, let me tell you what. And here's the unique thing. So my associate pastor, Randy, who you know, man, he loves the Lord. So he's working with the little children. You know what he was teaching on? I didn't even know. This came out. We did communion. He says he was teaching on Bartimaeus, his blindness, his natural blindness. I said, that's great. I was just teaching on spiritual blindness, brother. Wow. Here, this is what it is. What about when Jesus, this is the most powerful communion message, brother, when he is on the road with those two men and to Emmaus, right? And he sits down and he breaks bread. And when he gives it to him, what? Then their eyes were open. Coach, let me tell you what. Christ was walking with them the whole time in the natural, and they did not see him spiritually. If we could see, coach, what really encompasses.
I'm telling you, dude. That's why the Bible says those who have eyes to see, they let them see, right, Dale? Let them see.
Brother, we would be so full of courage like David after he slew Goliath that we would be looking for the fight to take it to the enemy.
Hebrews 12, or not Hebrews, is it Hebrews 12?
It's right. Hebrews 12, 1. Go ahead.
No, that's not the one I'm looking at. Seeing we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses.
That's it.
Is that Hebrews 12?
Yes.
Folks, verse 1. What does this mean? What does this mean? Wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, do you understand that there's an invisible world around us, a cloud of witnesses, that they are watching everything that goes on? And do we understand that even if the, as I was trying to explain to my granddaughter, even if the third of the angels fell, do you understand they're outnumbered 2-1? Do you understand it? 2-1, they're outnumbered. And we don't get it, see? We don't get it. We think we're going under. And that's why I hate to bring up that rapture thing because it's so divisive. Why is it so divisive? Some of us absolutely, they call it the blessed hope. Trusting, listen, if you're trusting in the rapture, God bless, I'm not criticizing you. But why doesn't everybody believe there's a rapture? How come only maybe 40% of Christianity believes that? Yet, so many people are putting their entire hope in a soon coming rapture. I don't know. I really don't know. I do know this. The Bible says work while the sun shines because the day cometh when no one can work. I think that applies to all of us. I could be dead tomorrow. It could be no rapture and I could be dead tomorrow. And I'm sitting around here waiting, which by the way, is the position of most of the church. Don't get involved. Huh? Don't get involved in politics. Right? Lay low. Don't judge anybody. Love your neighbor. But Jesus said, it'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck than let them continue to do the little children what they're doing. And the church says, well, it doesn't matter. It's just a sign of the times. It's just getting worse and worse. It's what the Bible says is going to happen. To me, it's unbelievable, man. It's unbelievable. By the way, I was raised Catholic. I think I've told you that a number of times. I never, ever, 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 ever heard any end-time eschatology in the Catholic Church. Do they even have any? I mean, I don't know. I was there. When I first heard about the rapture in that Left Behind movie, and that thing came out, my mom showed that to me. It came out with, I thought, what? Huh? What the heck? And I've been wondering about it ever since. Laura Ann, come on in.
The thing that has got me frustrated is everybody's so focused on the rapture and the coming of Jesus, and either they're just quitting doing what they're doing because, hey, Jesus is just going to just, you know, like take me out of here.
Yeah.
But what people don't realize is every single day somebody's going to meet Jesus and they're either going to heaven or they're going to hell.
That's right.
While you're sitting there on your couch waiting for Jesus to rapture you.
That's right.
Well, in the next 5 minutes, you just may be getting raptured because you may be meeting Jesus face to face. And then,
but Laura Ann, we have no control over that anyway, right? You could die before you're raptured. We don't have no control over that.
Right. Jesus didn't even know the time and the day, the hour that the Father was going to come back. Right.
Yeah.
That's right. People need to be focused on about having people meet Jesus now. The rapture belongs to God. Eschatology belongs to God. We need to be focused on people being introduced to Jesus. Now, the Lion of Judah is roaring, and then you get to meet the Lamb of God.
Amen. Right? So that's our focus. Occupy till I come. What does that mean? And what would that look like to actually occupy until he came? Wow. I got so much stuff I didn't even really get to today, just because I don't want to give just a real quick run through of the things that Christians believe. How can that possibly be that, I don't know how many are in this here today. There's still 118, it says, 118 of us. 99% of believers experience of, yeah, that's right, Randy. How can we believe so many different things? How can we believe so many different things if we all think we know the truth? I could get into once saved, always saved. That'll start a denominational fight. Okay, once saved, always saved. You know what? Once saved, always saved. This is what I think. Once saved, always saved is a doctrine that makes parents feel good about their wayward children. They say, well, he was saved when he was seven. He was saved, so he's okay. That's what I think, right? Can you lose your salvation? Well, why would you want to? What do you mean, can you? I think you probably can. I believe you probably can say to the Lord, hey, I'm not in this anymore. Sorry, thanks. Thanks. No thanks. I think you can. But why the big argument over it? Or why can't we all agree on what is going on? There's another one. Baptism. Sprinkle, submerge. What? Well, what is it? Can you only be baptized once? All of these things become, if we're not careful, doctrines of men. Jesus said, you teach his commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. Now, I'm going to look. The world is full of them. I know many of them, not many of them, of pastors who never went to seminary. Praise the Lord that they didn't go to seminary. But where did they learn their doctrine from? They had to learn it from somebody. I remember when I got saved, I've shared this with you before, Pastor Rod Parson at World Harvest Church. God bless him. About January 28th, 1988, I received Christ. Praise the Lord. I thank him for that. But I think Pastor Rod then taught me a bunch of stuff that probably isn't totally true. Now, he believes it's true, but I've done some research, and I don't know if it's true. How about that prosperity message? That's prosperity gospel. You think that baby's true? Huh? Think that one's true? Boy, they sure made a lot of money off of it, didn't they? So we got to be really, really careful. All of us. I don't want to come on here and start arguments and tear down somebody else's theology. I don't want to do that. Whatever you believe, if you deeply believe it, God bless you. Well, if you deeply believe it, why do you get mad if somebody questions it? And that's kind of where we are. And most of us really, until the internet, thank God the internet, most people really didn't have any idea. If you were a Baptist, number one, you probably didn't know why. Number two, you definitely didn't know what the difference was between the Baptist and the Presbyterian. And you certainly didn't know what it was between the Baptist, the Presbyterian, and the Church of God. And you certainly didn't know what it was between the Baptist, the Methodist, the Church of God, and the Church of God in Christ. And you certainly didn't know what the difference was between those and Lutherans and those in Methodists, pick it, right? So most of us have a very, very shallow understanding of scriptural, biblical things. We learned it from somebody else. And just because I believe something does not necessarily make it true. And you say, but coach, I can take you right here and I can show you in the scriptures. Well, I hate to tell you this. If you could do it that easily, then everybody would believe that. All denominations would be teaching that. Why aren't they all teaching that? I don't know. That's the jam we're in, isn't it? That's why there's no unity in the body. We don't all believe the same stuff. Why would I work to save the earth if I think it's just going to be burned up? Yeah, well, good question. I don't know. I'm rambling. Somebody come on in. What time? Oh, yeah, we got a few minutes. Somebody, I get tired of hearing me. So do you guys. Come on in. Yeah. Folks, hang on, man. I'm going to do a minute intro here of the things. Okay. You count me down, Johnny. I'm going to give 1 minute. Bear with me. Hey, friends. Thanks for joining us here at Brighty on TV, Coach Dave Live, Pass the Salt Ministries. Let me ask you something. Is the sun going up, sun coming up, or the sun going down in America? Are we able to look out the window and see all the crazy things that are happening and saying, well, it's all broken, it'll never be fixed, the devil's in charge, rapture's coming? Or did God tell us to occupy till he comes? What we're going to talk a little bit about today is, what are some of the beliefs out there from all the different denominations? What is it Christians believe? And why is it that if we all call ourselves Christians, we all read the same Bible, why is it that we don't have the same set of beliefs? And is it possible Joe Rogan, Alex Jones, Kid Rock? Is there an awakening going on in the good old US of A? Boy, folks, hang in there. We'll be right back on the other side. You're not going to believe some of the stuff we show you. Thank you, Johnny. Okay, come on, somebody come in. I'm sorry, I've been all over the place this morning. I've been all weekend with me, all right?
Go ahead, Dave. Well done, Coach.
Thanks. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, Coach, help me out here. You're the school superintendent, and I'm standing before you. And I say, Mr. Superintendent, if we quit teaching reading and spelling, how long before we have a society that is illiterate in reading and spelling? Mr. Superintendent, if we quit teaching mathematics, how long do we have a society that can't add or subtract? Mr. Superintendent, if we quit teaching children about God and his moral laws, how long before we have a society that doesn't believe in either?
Wow, Dave. That's it, isn't it? Huh? The old saying, you reap what you sow. What have we planted into America? Folks, Christianity is illegal. It's illegal in our public schools. I got in trouble because I was sharing Christianity with my students. I was like a criminal. They came in, they sued me for teaching morality. Can't we understand? Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman, the battle that's gone on. Does the devil want me in public schools teaching about Christ? Oh, hell no. Pardon the French. Rianne, come on in.
Good morning.
Morning.
To Dave's point, I've been thinking about this for quite a while, that I think that the language that we will have here in America and maybe all over the world will be more of a hieroglyphics. They will be icons, just like the little the boy, the girl, the half boy and girl on the bathroom stalls, that we will be losing the ability to write and to construct sentences on paper, not so much in language, even though language is deteriorating as well. But I think that's where we're headed.
I would agree with you. And I would agree with our dear friend Tim Tuber out there in Oregon, if he's up this early in this morning. By the way, it's 70 degrees here. It's going to be 70 again today. I look out my multi-million dollar studio window over there, and see it's a beautiful morning coming up here today. See, the problem that we're in is the average Christian cannot explain Christianity. They can't explain it. When it comes to the idea of leading somebody to Christ, they really don't understand how to do that. They don't understand the deeper meanings. And one of the shows that we did last week was I talked about asking questions, right? Asking questions. Do you believe you're going to live forever? No, you don't believe you're going to live forever? Where are you going to go when you die? Why do they say you passed away? Passed away to where? Where do you go? And I don't know if, number one, I don't think we're being trained that kind of stuff in our churches. Certainly not training it to our children. So those who are on the outside, they don't have any idea how to become Christians or what it even means, because for the most part, the average Christian doesn't have any idea how to explain it. What it means, the spiritual world and the spiritual realm, the fact that we are a spirit that lives in a body that possesses a soul. We don't understand all of that. Because we don't understand all of that, we're not able to articulate it to others. And so they have this cockeyed, screwed up view of what Christianity is supposed to be. When the entire country at one point was Christ-centered, was Christian. And today, I remember Jim Harris, I don't know if he's listening right now, about 10 years ago, when I first got to know Jim, he said, I've never led anybody to Christ. Have you led anybody to Christ? Does your church, when you go every Sunday, do they teach you how to do that, how to evangelize, how to take the gospel, the kingdom of God, and share it with others? The answer to it's no, we don't. Those are the battles we're facing, man, I'm telling you.
Well, I think all the different languages, too, are going to be an issue, right? All the people coming in, that it would actually be a very, a smart way to do it if you got rid of all the languages that people read. You get different legal paperwork and you have it in different languages, but then you use just icons.
Yeah, well, with the technology we have now, it ought to be able to, we'll be a lot better spreading the gospel. Hey, thanks for bearing with me today on the Bridion stuff. It'll air at 11 o'clock this afternoon. It's morning. God bless you. See you tomorrow.